Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We pray that it would encourage us today, that we would know liberty as we read it and think about it together, that we would be encouraged, that we would be transformed. And to that end, I pray that help me, please, preach well in Jesus' name. So we're in this little series of talks entitled Intentional Belonging. We're exploring church membership. What does it mean to be a member of this church, All Saints, Vevey? Or what does it mean to be a member of any church? You might be a guest here today and you belong to your own church back home. What does it mean for you to be a member of that local community? For some of us, this idea of church membership is going to be new. We've just come to faith. We're discovering that to be a Christian isn't a solo experience. It's something that we do with a community of people. You've been around church for quite a while, but you've never really actually thought about church membership. Maybe you've just moved to Switzerland and you've found yourself here at All Saints and you're wondering, what on earth is this weird community? What does it mean to be part of this? Maybe you've been part of church all of your Christian life, that you know what it means to be committed to a Christian family, what it means to share love and life, to serve, to give, and so on. But the reason why we're focusing on these on this little sermon series right now is because some big things are happening in the next couple of weeks. In 6 weeks' time, it's our annual general meeting. If anybody wants to go and play a game, go for it. So annual general meeting. Next month, March, we are making a big decision together as a family about the employing of a full-time youth and children's worker. That is going to require a financial commitment from us as a church family, and so that's a decision that we need to make together. But probably most pressing is the fact that the list of members of All Saints is being revised. This is something we do every 6 years. It effectively means that we hit the delete button, we wipe it clean. And so at the moment, currently at All Saints, no one is a member. There are no members of this church, including me. And so in this four-week period, we have an opportunity to apply again for membership of this church. And I thought it would be a great opportunity just for us to think what it means to be members of local churches, this one, or maybe a church that we'll belong to at some further point. To become a member of All Saints, you sign an electoral rule form, and there are a variety of statements on that electoral rule form which are forming the basis of this sermon series. And 2 weeks ago, we looked at baptism, that to be a member of any local church, that the gateway, the doorway to membership of a local church is baptism. Baptism says, I belong to Jesus, I belong to his people, I'm committed to his purposes. And we looked at that a couple of weeks ago. Today, I want to look at another statement on that electoral rule under the little heading, I believe. So I belong. It's part and parcel of church membership. The second thought is I believe that church membership involves believing, trusting certain central convictions, core doctrines of the Christian faith. And I think that passage from Mark 6 or Mark 9 helps us think about what are we saying when we say I believe, .. What are we saying within a Christian context, within the membership of the church? What are we saying when we say, I believe? It's a beautiful, beautiful story. So if you've got your Bibles open, Mark 9, a father's come to some of Jesus' disciples for help. His son is oppressed by an evil spirit, and no matter what the disciples do, they can't help. The condition just doesn't improve. And just when you thought that the situation was going was bad or could get any worse, a fight breaks out between the disciples and the Pharisees. At that moment, Jesus arrives back. He's been away with Peter, James, and John, and the father of this child sees Jesus, and he runs to Jesus, pleading for help. And Jesus' reaction is uncomfortable. It's startling. If you see it there, verse 19, "You unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long will I put up with you?" Now imagine if your boss said that to you tomorrow. You know, "How long can I stay with you? How long can I put up with you?" That wouldn't be particularly positive, would it? And there's a sense of frustration in Jesus' words here. Verse 20, "Bring the boy to me." So they brought him, and when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. It's interesting, in the presence of Jesus, evil cannot hide. Verse 21, Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered, "it has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus. And then Jesus says something which is startling. "Everything is possible for one who believes." And immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." This is a beautiful story. I think it helps us think about what it means to believe. Got some thoughts for you, and then we're going to apply it to church membership. Here's the first one. Here's what I think this passage wants to tell us. Here's the first one: that believing is essential. Believing is essential to being a Christian. Verse 19, "You unbelieving generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you?" Impossible to miss Jesus' frustration, perhaps even anger. Jesus is fed up. Ever been there? Ever been to a place where you just said, "I'm just fed up"? Maybe you're feeling that way right now. Well, here's Jesus saying, "I am fed up." Fed up with people's unwillingness to trust me, to believe me. And for Jesus' disciples, this isn't the first time that they have heard Jesus say this to them. Do you remember the journey across the lake in the boat? The storm? The disciples wake Jesus and say, "Don't you care?" And Jesus, what does Jesus say? "Do you have no faith?" And as you read this passage, you are left with the distinct impression that Jesus expects people to believe him. Jesus expects people to trust him. Jesus expects people to trust his word, even, and wait for this, in life and death situations. And don't miss that today. Jesus expects us to believe him. Jesus expects us to trust him. Jesus expects us to trust his word. And wait for it, even in life and death situations. Believing is essential. And that leads us into the second thought, I think, that comes out of this passage, is that believing is particular. It isn't that I just believe. It's also about what I believe in. And last week we baptized Sam Malty. For those of you who were here, you'll remember that. And we did some stuff up here, and then we all went down to the back to the font. Everybody turned around and faced the font. And then we did something just before Sam was baptized. And we declared some very particular things. At the back, I asked the question. I said, it wasn't just to Sam, in fact, to everybody here, "Do you believe in God the Father?" That was the question I asked. And can you remember what you said? Do you remember what your answer was? The answer was, "I believe in," help me out here. Oh boy, okay. "I believe in God the Father, creator of heaven and earth, And seeing as we were getting some momentum going, I asked a second question. I said, do you believe and trust in Jesus Christ? Do you remember what he said? You said, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again and he ascended into heaven. And then you went on to say, he is seated at the right hand of the Father and he will come to judge the living and the dead. And seeing as we were doing so well, I decided to ask you a third question. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Can you remember what you said? You said, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. And then you shook the rafters of this church when you said, Amen. Last week you said it slightly louder than that, by the way. You see, Sam wasn't just being baptized last week. Sam was being baptized into the Christian faith. He was being baptized into a framework of convictions, a set of core understandings of who God is and what God has done. Believing is essential, but it is also particular. There are particular things that we believe about God, what he's like and what he's done for us. And in our passage, Jesus is calling the Father to a particular belief in him. And in this particular passage is about whether Jesus has the power and authority over evil. That's what he's been called to believe in that moment. And this passage is bending over backwards to highlight the uniqueness of Jesus and that Jesus wants us to believe that he is unique. So belief is essential, it's particular. Belief is also dynamic. Have a look at verse 21. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered, it has thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And isn't it interesting what Jesus picks up on in verse 23? If you can. He's echoing back the Father's words to him. If you can. And then Jesus says this. Everything is possible for one who believes. And then we come probably one of the most beautiful, honest and vulnerable statements in Scripture. Verse 24. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. What comes next? Help me in my unbelief. Have you ever been there before? Have you ever been in that moment where you find yourself living between belief and unbelief and you cry out? You see, believing is dynamic. There's an authenticity about this statement I find deeply moving. And I find it interesting that Jesus doesn't get annoyed at the Father. He doesn't express disappointment at the Father. He takes the Father where he is, in this place of tension between belief and unbelief. Yes, I do believe, and I'm really struggling to believe. And Jesus takes that and responds to it. And one of the things that strikes me about this story is just, you know, actually, Jesus responds gracefully, lavishly, generously to the tiniest expression of faith. And I find that deeply encouraging. There have been times in my life where trusting God has come really easily. There have been times in my life when it's been holding on with my fingernails. And I guess there have been times in my life when I feel the grip, my grip, has slipped. And do you know what I found in those moments? His grip hasn't. See, believing is dynamic. Trusting is dynamic. By that I mean, belief can mean that there are questions. Father, I don't fully understand this. can mean that there's mystery. I just don't get it. I don't understand this 100%. There's mystery. It can involve doubt. I believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. It's dynamic, and as we journey through our Christian lives, I've been a Christian now for 35 years. For me, day one of my journey with Jesus, do you think that I had it all nailed down? Do you think I understood the Trinity? Do you think I understood substitutionary atonement? Do you think that I got how God works in our world with his tension of suffering? Of course I did. This 35 years has been a 35 years of wrestling with truth. Understanding truth. Okay, so the Trinity, how does that work? Okay, so I understand that this is how the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit relate to each other. But what about this? And you sort of journey with these wonderful and amazing and life-giving doctrines, but you're wrestling with them in terms of seeking to understand them. So, okay, so how do you forgive my sin, even though you died 2,000 years ago? Question we often get at Alpha. And you work through that and you wrestle with it, but you may not have got the whole thing down on day one, and you may not even have got it down in year five, but maybe by year 10 you think, okay, I'm beginning to get this. There's a dynamism to believing. And that prayer, help me, is a really important prayer when it comes to belief. Because Jesus responds positively to that. Help me. One of the things that I want to discourage you from is going to sleep on truth. Don't allow yourselves to be washed along by the current of other people's faith. Wrestle with truth. Work with truth. Wrestle with doctrine. As I said earlier on, it's essential. Work hard at it. I mean, it may be worth even interesting today, if you were to say, okay, if there were three areas of my faith that I need to wrestle with, and I'm not talking about behavior here, I'm talking about sort of core Christian convictions, what would they be? Well, don't pretend that they don't exist. Work at it. Study. Pray. Get into Scripture. Wrestle with it. Because truth is essential. Belief is essential. But it is dynamic. I believe. Help me in my unbelief. And because it's dynamic, and here's the fourth thought, belief is relational. So within the historic Christian church, in its many forms, we believe in certain statements of faith. We have the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, the Athanasius Creed. We have other expressions of our understanding of God, who he is, and his plans for our world. And yes, there is an abstract element to belief. But there is a relational element to belief. Because who am I believing in? I'm not believing in a piece of paper. I'm believing in a person. I'm believing in Jesus. I'm believing in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's not a piece of paper that I sign. That's a relationship that I engage in each and every day. And so believing is relational. On the day that Yvonne and I got married, on the 27th of May, 1995, we expressed belief in each other. I, Clive, take you, Yvonne, to be my wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, and so on and so forth. That was a statement of belief in Yvonne. And it was a statement of commitment on my part to her. But I've worked that out with her each and every day in relationship. And that's exactly what we're doing in our relationship with God. Belief is relational. It's not purely abstract. So belief is essential. It's particular. Belief is dynamic. It's relational. Jesus expects me to believe him, to trust him. He expects me to believe certain things about him. There will be a wrestling and a living out of those beliefs as we seek to live in relationship with him. I believe. Help me in my unbelief. So I'm nearly finished, because I want us to think about how this applies to church membership. And there is on the electoral roll forms, for those of you who have signed up, will have seen this, signed up on them, you'll have seen this statement. This is probably one of the most long-winded statements that there are, but it's all about belief. Here it is, and forgive me. I'm going to read this. I am a member of the Church of England, or of a church in communion with the Church of England, or a communicant member of any other church which subscribes to the doctrine of the Holy Trinity, and I'm in good standing with in the church. Now, what is that about? What is that asking of me? Well, this is all about what do I believe. There's a statement of behaviour there, and we're going to talk about that next week, church membership and my lifestyle. But this is fundamentally about what I believe. And what this statement is trying to say, A, is that what you believe is essential. Believing is essential, that there's a particular set of core convictions that's essential to believe. Now, for those of us within, those of us who are Anglican, those of us who are members of the Church of England or of a church in communion with the Church of England, effectively, what that statement is saying is that I understand the core convictions of the Christian faith as the Church of England understands them. So every denomination has their take on the core convictions of the Christian faith. And this statement is saying to me that I understand those core convictions as the Church of England does. But what if you're here today and you're saying, now hold on a minute, I am not an Anglican and I never want to be an Anglican. What does that mean for you? Does that mean you can't be a member of this church? Of course not. But what we do ask of you is that you do hold to the doctrine of the Trinity. So if you are a Presbyterian or a Baptist or a Lutheran or a Pentecostal or a Roman Catholic, can you be a member of Soul Saints? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. And we want you to be members of this church. Let me just say that again. We want you to be members of this church. It blesses me that you are members of this church. But what we would want to say to you is that what you believe is important. It's essential. And what we ask of you is that you are committed to the doctrine of the Trinity. Now, maybe some of you are sitting here right now and you're thinking to yourself, the denomination that I come from, you have a statement of faith that you need to sign. Quite a lengthy statement of faith that you need to sign before you become a member. In the Anglican Church, you don't do that. And there's one reason for that. And there's some good positive reasons for this and some not so positive reasons for this. But the reason why we may ask people to sign up to the doctrine of the Trinity is that we want our front door to be a big front door. We want people to feel that they can become members of this church. Now, within Christian history, you get different attitudes towards this. You either have a big front door or a narrow front door. And often, within denominations where you have a narrow front door, there's a long doctrinal basis of faith that you need to sign. C of E does that differently. It says we have a big front door. Now, does that mean we don't believe in the core values of the core doctrines of Christian faith? No. We just simply think that actually you work that out within the membership of the church. So to reiterate what I just said, believing is essential. What you believe is vital, it's dynamic, and it's relational. Please hear that. As that applies to this church, what we ask of you if you're not a member of the Church of England or an Anglican, is that to become a member of this church that you agree and assent to the doctrine of the Trinity. Now, what I may have said to you is completely, may make no sense to you this morning. If that's the case, do not hesitate to come and talk to me. I'd love to be able to try to explain this slightly differently, maybe slightly differently, or maybe more clearly. But for those of you who are non-Anglicans, we would love you to be members of this church. Let's pray together. So setting church membership aside for a moment, I'm going to invite you to do some wrestling with me. And just to think of that phrase, I believe. Help me in my unbelief. And there may be an experience that you're going through right now where you find yourself echoing the words of the Father in Mark 9. I believe. Help me in my unbelief. And in the moment that you find yourself in this season, in this experience, Jesus is standing before you. And he's inviting you to trust him. Today may be a day where you want to say to him, today, Lord Jesus, yeah, this is difficult. I'm struggling here. But I'm choosing to believe. I'm choosing to trust you. So we offer you, Lord, moments of pain, whether it's pain, personal pain, or the pain of those around us. And we pray, and we make that statement, we believe, help me overcome my unbelief. We pray this in Jesus' name.